I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to the walk.se, the ongoing story about becoming a minimalist vagabond while trying to walk from Stockholm to Sydney. I'm sitting here in Campwood in an excellent, nice little caravan site that we've been invited to stay in. And
A green oasis.
A very green oasis.
In a dusty hole.
In a dusty hole, yeah. It's not that dusty. It's actually, we actually had a bit of rain today, which is why we're still here. In the last podcast, I asked for some feedback about the format, which was just podcast and not that many words and pictures. And I've had feedback from a few of you that you want me to try to retain the old format a bit more. Some of you like to be able to go in on the blog and check what was happening quickly. Didn't have time to listen to the podcast. And there was even some people that didn't like listening to a podcast that wanted it in the old format with words and pictures on the blog. So what I'm actually going to try to do from now is go back to a little bit more of the old format with a lot of pictures on the blog, a fair bit of text, and also try to do this podcast at the same time as well. I want to keep everybody satisfied. I want you all to follow me if you can. Since then, Charlie and I, we walked out of Fredericksburg and carried on westward, forever westward. We left Fredericksburg on the Saturday morning and we were going a nice, easy pace, not trying to do it too hard. We stopped for a beer on the edge of town. Yeah. And then as we moved a little bit further along, we walked past a produce and fruit stall on the edge of the road that was run by a family there from one of the family farms. And we stopped there and we started talking to the young lady there, Sarah, and we decided to buy a watermelon. We figured it would do two things. Satisfy our thirst. We were starting to get a bit thirsty. And maybe help a little bit with our hunger as well. We didn't want to carry it. They were pretty big and heavy. So we asked if we could borrow a knife and chopped it up then and there and started eating. And we ate.
And we ate.
And we ate.
And we kept eating.
Eating. And, I mean, Charlie did a pretty good job. He was really getting into it, eating and eating and eating. And I was doing as well as I could, but we didn't manage to eat the whole watermelon. We had about a quarter of it left when we gave up.
So we left some for the dog.
We left some for the dog, and we took a quarter of it with us that we enjoyed. We had the dinner that night later on.
Yeah. That was the night we were camping in that that place.
We walked along
with some old trees. And
yeah, that's right. We walked along. We were following the road, and the road was getting smaller and smaller. Mm-hmm. And we were following a road that sort of curved through some cattle paddocks. And
there were some really old ranches there.
Yeah, old ranches
from back to before the Civil War. And
yeah, a very nice area. We found a small area just off the road, quite near the road, but next to a creek where we would camp, and we set up the campsite next to the creek, and we had a bit of problem trying to avoid the thistles there. There were a lot of thistles and fawns there, but we set up our camp, and it was a nice little camp. We had a nice sunset, and we enjoyed the rest of the watermelon, had a few bananas, and I think maybe an orange or something for dinner, and that was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then it was pretty late. We didn't start setting up camp until about 8:30, 9 o'clock, so we had some dinner, and then we went to bed.
Yeah.
And it didn't really take all that long. I was trying to sleep, and then sometime during the middle of the night, I was woken by a car that turned off the road and sort of headed down towards our campsite. I was worried there. I thought that someone was going to come and tell us that we couldn't camp there and kick us out of there. I mean, there's no trespassing everywhere here in Texas, so I was just expecting to get kicked out of there, but the car stopped about 50 meters away from us, and we could hear some voices talking in it, and they sat there for a while, and then after about half an hour, I suppose, they drove off.
Yeah, I was just about to get up and tell them to piss off out of our turf, but then they went off by themselves. Yeah. So.
I think they actually, I don't know if you remember this, that was, do you remember the first time? Did you hear them coming twice,
no,
Charlie?
No, I only heard it.
Well, they came once, and then they came a second time. And then I thought, oh, well, I was actually starting to get a bit worried then. I thought maybe they'd got more people.
Back up.
Yeah, got a back
rest
up
of the clan.
But again, it sounded like two younger guys and maybe a girl sitting there talking. They were a little bit far away to hear exactly what they were talking about, but there was a lot of bantering and a lot of thing going on. And I suspect they were just some young people, underage, not allowed to drink in the bar, and then they were just sort of finding a secluded place to maybe have a snuggle and drink a few beers. And I think the next morning we found a box of Bud Light or something like that there where they'd parked. So that's probably what they were doing. And they didn't come over to say hello or say anything to us. They must have seen us. Our tents were quite visible. But they half an hour, maybe an hour later, they were off again and we were able to get back to sleep. Next morning we continued into Kerbal. Not such a long walk, and we decided to camp at the Campgrounds of America campground, and where we discovered a wonderful new use for my water cooler that I've been carrying water in. Yeah, it's absolutely perfect for keeping the beer cold in. So we just buy some ice, dunked some beers in there, and enjoyed a couple of really, really nice cool beers.
Maybe we should actually try to drink the American beer warm to get a little taste from them.
Yeah, Charlie's not too impressed with American beer.
And we tried quite a few now.
Yeah. The strange thing is that up until now, we haven't tried any light beers.
No.
But we did at one stage try a light beer, and it didn't taste anything less than the normal beer. So I don't know what's supposed to be light about.
No, and the alcohol percent is the same.
Yeah. So I don't know what's light with them. It's supposed to be fewer calories or something, but I don't know. I can't.
But that doesn't sound very American either.
No. Well, we stayed at the campground at Kerbal for one night, and we got up and we headed towards Hunt, where we had a really, really large lunch, a gigantic pizza with everything there. Mm. Really filled me up. I was really full after that. Stocked up on ice and water. It was the last time we could do that for a while, we suspected. And again, kept going west. And we walked along a river and it passed some really beautiful spots and some nice houses and nice farms, and it was green and the river was flowing beside it. It was really quite nice.
We had a good siesta there.
Yeah, and we found this really, really nice green area where we had a siesta and had a lay down, and you went out for a swim and I sort of just laid that back in the shade and had a nice relax.
I was almost sleeping a little bit out in the water. Yeah. I found a nice rock to do some water meditation until the water got invaded by another family and turned into a pure kindergarten.
Yeah, a family came down with some small kids and, it got a bit noisy. And we stayed there for a little while longer, and then it was time for our siesta to end anyway. So we got up, packed up our gear and headed off again.
And we had a good walk that day.
We had a good walk. We walked.
Was it 47?
No, I don't think that was that night, but it was 40-something, about 40 or something. It was quite a good long walk anyway. And we headed up and we got into an area where there was really high fences on both sides of the road and no gates that we could sneak through, so we couldn't really find anywhere to camp.
No.
And
the thing is that even though it's far, far away from any towns or anything, there are fences along both sides of the way.
Yeah.
Everywhere,
yeah.
With those signs saying no trespassing, and we just learned the other day that some of them say posted, which means they're actually legally allowed to shoot you if you sneak camp underground. So so in the future we will try to keep away from the posted one at least.
Yeah. But we couldn't find a way to get off the road or the side of the road without climbing up one of these high fences. So we actually decided on a wider stretch there to camp on the side of the road, and there hadn't been much traffic, so we didn't really think there'd be much of a problem. So we camped on the side of the road, and I think I counted 3 or 4 cars during the whole night. No one stopped and said anything, so that worked out quite all right, and we had a good sleep there. Mm-hmm. Next day was a tougher day. There were some long hills to climb, and then once you climbed them, you had to descend the other side and then climb right back up again. So there was a fair few up and downs, and it got a little bit hot there for a while. When you started at the bottom of the hill, you were almost dry, and then by the time we got up to the top, shirt and everything was absolutely soaked. Yeah. We drank a fair bit of water that day. Yeah. Luckily, it hasn't been too hot. We've had some quite good walking days. It hasn't really been all that hot.
No, it has been quite good walking weather.
Good walking weather. I mean, it's hot, but it's not ridiculously hot.
No.
And once we got up to the top of the hill, there was a nice view. I don't know if it was worth the climb, but it was a nice view.
Yeah, there was. Yeah. And it's beautiful nature in that whole area, actually.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This hill area
lot of the other places we have been walking has been a little boring. Not so much to watch.
But we continued up two of these really big hills. Mm. And on the top of the second one, it was starting to get a bit late, and we actually decided to camp on the top of one to just leave ourselves the downhill into the next town the next morning. It was quite nice. It was a nice, clear evening when we started setting camp. So I suggested we might try just sleeping under the stars, not even pitch our tents, which we did. I can't say I slept too well. I don't really know why. There were some bugs that were worrying us a bit. But
I don't think there was too many bugs there.
Well, not too bad, but a little bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't really sleep. I was pretty restless all night. And in fact, one time I woke up and I could hear the snorting and huffing of what I was pretty sure was a wild hog.
It wasn't me anyway.
Yeah, well, he snorts and huffs, but it wasn't him. This was another. This was something else.
It was another hog.
So I tried to see him, but when I moved, he sort of shuffled off. I scared him away, so I don't really, not sure that it was a wild dog, but I'm reasonably certain it was. So, and we've heard that there are a few around in this area.
And that they can even eat people if they're hungry enough.
Yeah, well, we've heard some horror stories, but I don't know. And we've heard that they're dangerous.
We actually heard there's a mountain lion around in the area with cubs.
So. Which wouldn't have been good. So I'm lucky we didn't run into her. That could have been bad. Wednesday morning, we walked the last stage into Lakey and found the hog pen, where we had some food and tried to decide on a new beer to try. But we didn't really get a better result there, did we?
No. And the food wasn't excellent either, actually.
No.
But it was a nice place, though. There was some...
It was like
this biker bar with a lot of...
Yeah, a lot
single,
of old...
Tiny.
Yeah, so it was a nice, interesting place. Then it was off to the library to use the Wi-Fi and sort of get up to date with everything that's happened. And when we were there...
We met Gretchen.
Gretchen, who was working there. And she was very curious about what we were doing and saw the sign on the cart and came over, said hello, and after checking us out just a little bit, she invited us to spend the night with her family. And they lived at the HEB camp just 12 miles north of Lakey.
Yeah.
And we packed our stuff into a car. She drove us up there and we met the entire Lopez family, JJ and all the kids. And they were great, weren't they?
Very great.
Oh, they were so nice, helpful, friendly. Showed us all around, took us...
We had a good safari around the whole camp, and there was some ancient Indian graveyard.
There was some Indian mounds.
We didn't see that, but there was a lot of places. They had some solar power I was very interested to see compared to my project.
Exactly.
And we had a look at that.
And then we had some of the nice nature spots and some of all the things going on there. The blue hole and everything, and it was a very, very nice evening, and we had dinner at the camp and everything, so it was excellent. Very friendly, helpful people. What can you say? The hospitality people are showing here is incredible, isn't it?
Really?
Mm-hmm. After breakfast, Gretchen drove us back to Lakey, and we continued walking west towards Camp Wood. And we headed up the last big, long hill, and then we just sort of crested the hill, and we're cruising along at the top of it. And it was reasonably hot, and this little red car, it wasn't a red car pulled up, and out jumped a gentleman, and he came over to us and said, "Oh, I've seen you walking along here, and I just wanted to give you some beer," and he handed us a cold six-pack of Bud Light.
Yeah, that was when we tried the light beer for first time and realized that it's not light beer.
And the gentleman was named Roger, a true gentleman of the road, and he just stopped and, just wanted to help us. Really nice guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was very much appreciated, and a couple of cold ones slank down straight away, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. Not far from Camp Wood, we found a farm equipment graveyard called Rust in Peace. Nice looking place. They had old tractors and equipment rusting away there. And I like old cars and tractors that are rusting away. And I would really have liked to have been able to get a bit closer. And
there was no trespassing there as well.
As always, there was a no trespassing sign and a barbed wire fence. And Charlie started his own little collection of trespassing signs. And so he photographed it.
Yeah,
and added it to his collection. You've got a few already, haven't you?
I already got a few, and we actually only been doing it for one day.
Yeah,
but I think I have close to 10 different kind of signs already. Yeah.
And as we were walking into Camp Wood, there was a gentleman on the other side of the road carrying a screen door, and he sort of he looked at us and asked us where we were from, and I think he asked you, Charlie, if you were from Germany.
Yeah. Sprechen Sie Deutsch?
Yeah. And what did you say?
Nein, nicht viel.
Noch, no. But anyway, it turned out it was Casey, a guy who lives in the area, and he has actually lived in Denmark for 5 years when his father was stationed in the Air Force there.
Yeah.
Yep. It didn't take him long to offer us to stay in the small caravan campground we are now, that he and his wife are building here in Camp Wood. And it's a charming little place. It's really well planned and has everything you need, and it's got all these small vintage caravans. There's one from 1952, and there's even a really nice Airstream.
And Matt really has a thing for those Airstream models,
don't
you? Yeah,
they're really cool looking Airstreams. They are the coolest looking caravans. If I ever wanted to live in a caravan, if I could ever afford it, which I don't think I could afford an Airstream, I think they're quite expensive. They're becoming a bit of a collector's item.
So Matt's insisted to stay here, even though I tried to drag him out of bed this morning to get out walking, but he insisted he wanted to stay.
I don't think that was quite true. That was quite true, because it was raining this morning, wasn't it? And we didn't really, it was pretty dismal weather, so we decided to take it easy and get things like this update to the blog done.
Yeah.
And Casey proved to be a wonderful host, made sure we were comfortable, had everything we needed, and we had a look around and looked at all the old caravans and everything. And later on, his wife and his mother-in-law came down, and we sat around chatting with them for a little while. And we even met their dogs, one of them which has a hind leg problem and has a special carriage with wheels that he hobbles around with. A charming little dog, didn't seem to be annoyed by that at all. It seemed to be having a real good time anyway, didn't he?
It's even chasing cats, they say.
Yeah, they say he chases cats with the little wheels. What else have we done here? We went down the bar.
Went to the bar, had a play of pool, and got to talk with some of the local people, nice people as
everyone's
everywhere
friendly.
Else. We only been meeting nice people wherever we go.
Yeah, we've been very, very lucky. The strange thing that we've discovered is that both Gretchen and JJ were from Austin.
Yeah, and, that's quite fun.
And Casey here is from Austin.
Yeah.
So it seems that
that all the nice people we meet are from Austin.
Strange.
We always been knowing that Austin was a special place in Texas, right? But it seems to be, it's just such a strange thing that the ones who invites us in straight away seems to be from Austin.
Yeah.
And the coincidence of meeting them and end up where we do, because if we hadn't got to that library, we wouldn't meet Gretchen and all those people, and then we would probably not come to Camp Hunt
at the same time,
and then we wouldn't meet Casey, and it's just so many coincidences that leads us into to where we are now.
Yeah. And we have to get going tomorrow, so if we're going to make it to Del Rio before Charlie has to catch his flight back to get back to Austin for his flight back to Denmark. So it's pretty important to keep rolling. And it's actually something that we've had a bit of a problem with, because we have to repair Charlie's car all the time. The Emu is not the best carrier, is it?
No. It's meant to fly.
It's meant to fly. It's just a flightless bird that's meant to fly. We've been repairing it. I mean, it's held together with a hose clamp, a bit of pipe, some stick, duct tape, small rocks, and a great deal of hope at the moment, you know.
And some mustard as well.
Yeah, that's right. We even used some cashew butter to lubricate it. I think MacGyver would be really, really proud of us at the moment. But it only needs to last for another possibly 4 days.
Yeah, and then it will.
Yeah, we'll make it last those last few days.
It has to. Yeah. And it has actually it has proven to be a loyal servant. It hasn't been giving up yet.
Charlie's
really struggling, even though it cries, and I just put my earphones on, so I can't hear it cry. It waits dropping the wheels until we are downhill, and
yeah, until we are down. Yeah, it's really kind. It doesn't throw off the wheel until we're going downhill at least. Yeah, it's. I don't really want to jinx myself. I don't want to sort of say something and have something terrible happen, but. After walking with Charlie for 10 days and having to stop twice a day to repair the emu, I'm even more impressed by how well the mule works. I mean, it's gone more or less faultless for close to 9,000 kilometers at this stage.
You're going to miss the emu.
Yeah, yeah. In a very good way. Yeah. But anyway, keep following my journey towards Sydney and keep following how I try to become a minimalist. We'll see how that works out. But help me spread the word about both the blog and the podcast. Spread it to as many people as possible. And as always, just remember to keep walking.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.